I'm going to give a bit of context to criminal justice populations. And thank you. Can you hear me? Is it on? All right. I'll try and talk louder and let me know if I fade away. I don't have any relationships to disclose. Sorry, I flipped through that slide way too quickly. Just to give a context, this slide represents Bureau of Justice Statistics data for the last 20 or so years. And what you see is that adults involved in the criminal justice system in the U.S. has been increasing. If you look at that top line, that represents probation, jail, prison, and parole all totaled together. When you look at incarceration and community supervision together, you see that about 1 in 100 adults in the U.S. is behind bars. About 1 in 45 adults is on probation or parole. And what we see with those populations is that there's really a revolving door of justice involvement, that these folks go to jail, come out, maybe are on probation, reoffend, revisit jail. Eventually, things get worse and they end up in prison. So there's a revolving door of people that are involved in the criminal justice system that keep continuing to be involved. It's very hard to break that pattern. Minorities are disproportionately represented in this population, and over the last 20 years, that's only gotten worse. 1 in 9 of, when we look at the African American population, 1 in 9 men are behind, 1 in 9 African American men are behind bars. If you look at age 18 and above, you see the breakdown for it's 1 in 15 African American men, 1 in 36 Hispanic men, compared to 1 in 106 white men. For women, the data is a little bit older age group. 1 in 100 African-American women, 1 in 297 Hispanic women, and 1 in 355 white women. What we also see across the board is a lack of insurance or coverage of any kind. There are no payers to help foot the bill for health care or behavioral health treatment with this population. Only about 10% of jail inmates nationwide have any sort of coverage. It varies locally depending on the state Medicaid rules and what coverage looks like in a specific state. And if these folks are covered at the time that they are arrested, once they are incarcerated on release, they have lost their benefits, and it's very hard to get re-enrolled, even in the states that do cover single childless adults. Chronic conditions are also more widespread in the criminal justice-involved population than in the general population. They have higher prevalence rates of asthma, hypertension, arthritis, heart problems, tuberculosis, hepatitis, HIV, it's actually a small percentage on this slide, but if you look at the prevalence rates, they're 2 to 4 times higher for HIV and confirmed AIDS cases. They're frequently undertreated or untreated, and so they arrive at jail or prison needing some kind of care and frequently in very acute states. And this last statistic is one of the ones that I don't think people realize, and I find the most disturbing, is that the risk of death 2 weeks after release from prison in this country is 12 times what it would be for the general population. So these are people that are very high risk and aren't stabilized with any of their health conditions, let alone their behavioral health conditions. They have much higher rates of serious mental illness. About 16% of men and 30% of women that are incarcerated. And substance use disorders, or at least positive drug tests, are almost universal. More than 70% of jail inmates will test positive for drugs. the rate of criminally justice involved folks that meet the criteria for substance use dependence is very high, about 7 times that of the general population. So why talk about this in health reform? What are the opportunities here? I'm now going to focus on some data that's specific to Illinois. The Illinois task group has been very active. They're very strong, and they've been able to look at Illinois' the impact of healthcare reform on the state systems in a way that's unique and not necessarily easy to do in some other states. So in Illinois, they're expecting 500,000 to 800,000 new Medicaid enrollees beginning in 2014 with healthcare reform. Conservatively, looking at criminal justice data in the state, 300,000, or almost half of those folks, are going to be people that have justice involvement. They're either on probation or parole, are coming in and out of the local jails, or are going into prison and being released from prison across the state. I wish I could tell you what this is for each state. It would be more helpful to you in terms of knowing where you need to start the work at the local level. But it's very difficult to get this data and run it and really be sure of what you're looking at, which is why Illinois is a good example. So the health reform really has focused on Medicaid and expanded coverage, will expand coverage for single low-income adults, particularly those who are childless, either childless because they've never had children or childless because they have lost custody of their children. It's a really unique opportunity in that this is a large population with high behavioral and healthcare needs that has been uncovered, which also is reflected if you do an analysis of the costs of incarceration and criminal justice programming across the nation. Many of the costs are being driven up by the need to provide health care to the folks that are being incarcerated or jailed. It gives us a chance to cover folks that have not been covered, to eliminate wait lists for folks that are going on and off Medicaid rolls, and to address gaps in services. But with the opportunity, there are some challenges because the infrastructure has really, there isn't an infrastructure for helping make this happen. It's really important if we're going to address these folks' needs and have an impact on the chronic conditions that they have, that we work with the criminal justice system to really figure out how we're going to make the systems work together. They have to be at the table because they're the gatekeepers to the services. Whether you realize it or not, whether in every prison in the U.S., there are staff that are charged with starting to work about a year before release on putting things in motion to have care and consistency and reduce recidivism upon release. Those are some of the folks we need to be partnering with. Enrolling people on Medicaid or into insurance plans during incarceration and preparation for release is going to become very important. And we can say that would have an impact because what we see is that folks don't get connected to services, continue to struggle with behavioral health issues, and then end up reincarcerated. A high percentage of folks that are involved in criminal justice will be reincarcerated with new offenses within 3 years after release. So we're talking about both substance abuse disorders treatment and mental health treatment. This is a nice visual of how the criminal justice system works and where interventions happen. I'm not going to go through this. I would recommend that you, if you want to look at this, to either get a copy of the slides off the APHA system, or Maureen, the author of this, or myself can make sure you get them. But they're every point in the criminal, there are unique ways of working, whether you're trying to target folks that are involved with the criminal justice system in probation and parole, or whether you're trying to work with your local jail versus working with prison reentry. And so this is a nice visual that can sort of help you look at who's involved and what are the points that you need to be targeting if you're working at the local level. Some of the challenges that this new coverage raises. It raises opportunities for community providers, but it also raises a lot of challenges in terms of our capacity in the community-based treatment system to rise up to the occasion of more people being covered and actually having more people access treatment, having more than 10% of the folks who need treatment being able to get treatment. And it has to do with the Medicaid authority in each state, how the state rules look, whether single childless adults have been covered in the past, or that's going to be new with health care reform. What are the essential services that are covered? Are they going to be sufficient? If they haven't been in place before for this population, will the essential services be of sufficient duration and intensity, and the appropriate services for successful treatment that will decrease recidivism? Workforce is a huge issue across the board, but what we find with criminal justice involved systems and providers that are the most likely to be working with criminal justice involved persons is that those providers have credentialed staff, but not staff that Medicaid rules will reimburse for care. So we have real workforce issues that need to be addressed in general, and specifically when it comes to the services that are currently serving criminally justice-involved folks. Medicaid certification and billing are going to be things that have to be worked out at the local level, state by state, and the need for greater individualization of care plans and how we deal with folks that have multiple chronic behavioral and medical or health disorders and what services they'll have access to. So to address this, again, I'm going to refer back to Illinois. It's not the only state that's working on this. I'm from the state of Maine. But there are stakeholders that need to be coordinated and working together to address these issues. And I'm just going to list them quickly. The community providers need to be at the table. They need to be involved, particularly if they're already serving these populations. County budget officials, particularly with jails and jail issues. Medicaid directors at the state level are regarding enrollment and how you make sure folks have access and are on the rolls to be able to get coverage. State insurance directors in terms of decreasing barriers. State departments of health services, facilitating planning, making sure that some of the data that I've shared with you is on the radar. Jail officials and judges. Sometimes judges can be the people that help. It doesn't always seem like judges are advocating for health care, but because of the mental health and substance use disorders that they see coming through their courtrooms, they're frequently the people that can pull everybody to the table to start the work and the discussion. Health department roles, this is APHA, this is where we can become involved at the local level, is making sure that the right people are at the table and that we're actually asking questions about how folks that are involved in criminal justice systems are going to be part of who has access to services. Illinois has done a great job from the governor's level because of, I don't want to take too much time. I'm not doing the presentation justice, and I apologize. But one of the things they've been able to do successfully in Illinois is really get top-level attention to how health care reform and increasing access to services for those with behavioral health issues can impact the cost of incarceration and decrease recidivism in the state. So I'll end with that. I left copies of this information in the front, and I'm happy to connect you with Maureen if you have questions. Thanks.